But a couple that I've known for a long time, Bud and Lois Fuchs. Many of you also know Bud and Lois. Lois's dad was pastor of Magnolia from the years 1973 to 1977, Pastor Ralph Cook. They got married his first year here. I remember them as a young couple. They remember me as a squirrely high school kid. And now they know me as a squirrely old guy pastor. So that's, you know, some things never change. So let's welcome, because it's an important subject. Bud is an equipper to help churches reach out to the international students and others who are in our community. Now, that's something that Magnolia has been doing, will continue to do, but it's great to hear that we're kind of heading in the right direction. So let's welcome Bud Fuchs this morning.
Thanks, Mike. Well, it's amazing that we could be here. We're blessed beyond measure that we have this opportunity to be here. I remember the last time I was here, I was about right here, watching my bride come down the aisle, and there she is today. So 51 years later, we're blessed to still be together, and thank you. Well, this morning I want us to look at the topic you have in your bulletin, the outline, and the title is Just a Coincidence. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 8 in just a few moments, but I have a question for you. How many times have you been involved in a situation where you meet up with someone, I don't care where it is, out of the blue, out of town somewhere, maybe on a plane or in an airport, somewhere else, that you're amazed that you run into someone that you knew from before? I know Lois and I were on a flight. I can't remember even where it was and where we were going, but several years ago we had met up with a young lady that we had very close in our ministry in Edmonton, Alberta, and we were amazed that we got to connect again. And it's just, we were like, wow, what a coincidence, you know? And we were excited to see her and pick up from old times together. And but there's no explanation. You know, we can't explain it. How did it even come about? Well, a coincidence is when two events, There we are. Coincidence is when two events strangely or remarkably happen at the same time, but without any apparent reason or causal connection. In Acts chapter 8, we read about this kind of thing happening. And would you, if you have a Bible, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. I'm reading from the NLT. So as for Philip, and an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk alongside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture that he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing, Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north of the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. What a powerful definition of what a coincidence. You know, there was a couple that we know very closely. They're supporters of ours, and through their marriage, they had been very faithful to the Lord in not only in serving, but financially, in prayer. They supported several foreign missionaries, and they were involved in international missions themselves by doing mission trips, and they would be involved also in international student events in their city that they lived in. They would host missionaries in their home with gracious, loving hospitality. So really intricately involved in their home churches with missionaries. So after their retirement, they decided to move to a town near Sacramento, and they wanted to just, you know, take life easy in their retirement. So they moved into this community, and how many of you have ever heard this term called the 1040 window? I see a number of hands. The 1040 window is this window of the world from East Asia to West Africa, from the 10th to the 40th parallels. This section of the world is the least evangelized area of the world. Home of three great world religions of Buddhism, Islam, and Hinduism. When they moved into their little cul-de-sac in their suburb of Sacramento, the 1040 window was their neighborhood. They were the only believers in the cul-de-sac of 8 homes, and the rest of the people in the cul-de-sac were either Hindu, Buddhist, or Muslim. Kind of blew them away. You know, it's that old saying of you can choose your house, but you can't choose your neighbors. And that was true for them. They were kind of blown away by what happened here. And so all these immigrant families were living right around them, and they began to realize that they were the only believers in Jesus. And instead of them then taking this fortress mentality of going, oh no, what happened? What are we going to do? How are we going to get out of here? Or how are we going to live our lives to shut ourselves out from all these people that we are going to try to protect ourselves from? They begin to pray. And they said, Lord, not instead of why have you done this to us? They prayed, Lord, what do you have for us to do? And they started with the Lord led them to start simple acts of kindness when they looked out and saw their neighbors doing yard work. Many of them were older, and so they would go and help them with the yard work. When they heard someone was ill, they would take meals. When they saw that people were out going around, they would go out and greet them. And they learned their names and greeted them with their names, not just, hey, neighbor. So they began to develop these relationships, and they built trust in this opportunity. Word began to spread that this couple was different than other Americans who didn't go like this, but went like this. They were friendly. They were kind. And they began to see that their neighbors would go out for walks, and they timed their walks the same time as their neighbors' walks so that they could get to know them. And there was a park just a block away, and they would go to the park and meet other people at the park, and they noticed that people were having lunch in the park, so they would bring their lunch to the park and get to know them, and God began to open doors in many different ways. Many of them needed help with their English, and so they were kind enough to do so. And then the love of Jesus began to shine through. And then she began to say, hey, why don't you come to my home and I will help you with more language skills. And at times she'll have up to 10 Asian ladies come into her home. And several of those ladies have now come to Christ. Was it a coincidence that they moved into that neighborhood? Well, as we look back at this passage in Acts, we see that there are three factors that create this coincidence between Philip and the Ethiopian. Number one, there was this, the fact that he was, I even had the scripture up there. That there had to be a devoted servant, and that was Philip, who was ready and waiting. Then there was this divine appointment that was arranged. And thirdly, a declaration of the good news that was needed. Well, this first point of being a devoted servant who was ready. Philip was a man who was devoted to the Lord. There's no question at all. This is not the Philip the apostle. This is the Philip the evangelist. And we see him in Acts chapter 6 where he's a table waiter at his church. And he was a servant. He was an usher. And the key quality of Philip was that he was full of the Holy Spirit. That's what the scriptures tell us. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is not having more of the Spirit. It's having the Spirit having all of me. You know, we're like a glove. I found a glove in my suitcase this morning. I didn't bring it. It was just there. And I mean, I went, oh, you know, I should have brought a glove. And then there it was. And what a coincidence. But here's this thing. It's this thing, right? It's a piece of cloth but it's beautifully designed. But it's useless. What good is this? Until it's filled. And when it's filled, it has meaning. It has purpose. It's a powerful tool. It's an instrument of what can be used by the owner. God, who owns us, wants us to be a glove that he will fill, because he wants to use us. He wants to use each one of us, being filled with his Spirit, asking him every day, Lord, fill me with your Spirit that I might be used of you as your witness, like Philip was used of the Lord. Filled with the Spirit, he was ready, he was waiting, he was listening to what God had for him. And as we look at Philip in the book of Acts, it says that Philip went to Samaria. People who were considered outcasts and hated by the Jews, but Philip was there doing signs and wonders given to him by God, witnessing to these Samaritans. Verses 6 through 24, he saw people with Jesus' eyes, and people were then believing in Jesus, and they were being baptized by him. In verse 25, Philip was speaking, it says he was speaking the word of the Lord, and when he was, the angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, Philip, arise and go. And Philip was ready. He didn't hesitate. He started out immediately. He took off and he went down the road. And there it says, he ran to meet this Ethiopian. It wasn't like sauntering down the road. It says he ran because he was directed by the Lord. He was filled with the Spirit and moved in the direction that the Lord wanted him to go. And they met. What a coincidence. We were doing an English conversation. We call it ESL, English Language Conversation. And that is for those where English is a second language for them. We call it ESL. And we were doing these on Saturday mornings. And one of the Saturdays that we were doing this good-looking, sophisticated, well-dressed man walked into our ESL, and most of our students, and he was also an ESL student, but most of them were this kind of ragtag, students, college students. And he came and he went through the conversation, and afterwards he met with me, and he says, "I'm looking for a Christian mentor, someone that could help me, come alongside me, and guide me to understand more of the American culture and what life is like here in the United States." And I'm going, okay, maybe he's planning to immigrate in some way and start a business or whatever. I didn't know exactly what he had up his sleeve, but he wanted someone to disciple him and pray with him regularly. And how he said how God might use me in the future. And so he didn't divulge a lot of what he was up to, and I'm going, okay, Lord, why me? Why did you choose me to do this? But as our friendship grew, he began to share with me that he had been a two-term congressman in the National Congress of his home country. And he had been a mayor of one of the largest cities in his country. And he got pushed out of that position as mayor because he decided to look after those who had been treated poorly, who had downtrodden this area of the city, didn't have any running water, didn't have electricity, and so he brought that in, and the city leaders were very corrupt, and they didn't like what he was doing, so they made up lies and rumors and got him pushed out of his position. It was horrible what they did to him, but he still had this positive attitude. He loved Jesus and wanted to continue on in his life. So we met together for nearly a year, and one day he came up to me and he says, "But," he said, "we're going to move." And I said, "Oh," I was disappointed. I said, "Where?" And he goes, "Washington, D.C. And I said, "Oh, so what's going on?" And he said, "I'm going to become the regional director of this social justice organization. That it's a watchdog group where I will be the Latin American representative, or actually Spanish-speaking representative, where we lead the charge to stop human trafficking, abortion, religious persecution, and slavery in those nations." And he literally now meets with vice presidents, secretaries of state. He has had several meetings with the Pope. I mean, it's incredible the position that God placed him in. And I still look back and I go, "Lord, why me?" God has an amazing way in which he works in our lives, and we can look at it as just a coincidence, or we can look at God's divine plan. He has an impact now all across the earth. I didn't know him, he didn't know me, but God arranged all of that. When it comes to Philip, God arranged this divine appointment for him when he met this Ethiopian official, high government position, treasurer for the queen, who had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was a seeker of spiritual things, and we find that with internationals all the time. They're seeking spiritual things. He's now headed home, unfulfilled, still has seeking the answers of life, and he was desiring to know the truth. In fact, reading his Bible when Philip encountered him. How many people are we in contact with each week looking for the truths of life? And here, Philip, filled with the Spirit, in power and boldness, introduces him to Jesus. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But when you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We have a number of opportunities in our ministry. We had a young man who was hospitalized. We didn't realize he was. He had a serious appendectomy. The next day, he texts me. He says, "I'm in the hospital. I went to see him. As we talked, I gave an opportunity for him. I said, 'Listen, were you afraid to die last night?'" And he said, "Yeah." I mean, that's not kind of bedside manners, really, that you use when you visit everybody that's in the hospital. But I mean, the Lord prompted my heart. I usually don't ask that question. But I said, "Hey, were you afraid to die?" And he said, "Yes, I was." And I said, "Would you like to know how not to be afraid to die?" And he said, "Yes, I would." And right there in his hospital bed, he prayed to receive Christ. And before I left the room, he said, "Now I know why I got sick. It's so you could come and lead me to Jesus." Only the Lord can do those kinds of things. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a divine arrangement. You know, we have all sorts of opportunities the Lord gives us in our lives. And the thing is, we can do all sorts of nice things. All sorts of people of faith do nice things. We live in Utah. That's the capital of niceness. We get cookies a lot. And it's wonderful. It's not maybe so wonderful, but it's great to know our neighbors and to love our neighbors love us and we love them. But the reality is that there needs to be a declaration of the good news in what we do. And if we are nice and kind to others. This Ethiopian heard the good news from Philip, and he responded. And not only did he respond to the good news of who Jesus is, but he said, "Hey, I need to be baptized." He must have witnessed that taking place in Jerusalem when he was there visiting. Question I have for you is, have you ever responded? Have you ever responded to the truth of who Jesus is? That he died for you. That he went to the cross and he literally died and shed his blood that your sins might be forgiven. He did it for you. He did it for me. And if you sense that you're going, "You know, but I don't know if I've ever really done that." It's a simple act of faith. Just going before the Lord right there, right where you are. It's not a coincidence that you were here today. It was a divine appointment. And all you need to do is say, "Lord, I admit that I have sinned against you, and I ask your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus is God and that he committed no sin and he died in my place on the cross. And I confess you as Lord and I want to make you the master of my life and devote my life to you from now on." That's it. Admit, believe, and confess. Surrender your life to him today. Don't wait another day. Do it today. You know, that official, he responded in that way, and then he said, "I want to be baptized," and he did. I'm going to close with one more story. I could tell you stories till 3, 4, 5 this afternoon. But there was a gentleman that lived across the hall from us in our condo in Edmonton, Alberta. And our condos in Edmonton, Alberta have to have a hallway with doors on the inside, because you don't want to let minus 40 degrees into your house. Okay. So the hallways are heated. And you go in and out of your condo from the inside. So we were there, and across the hall from us was an immigrant family from China. Leon, the husband, father of the home, was a well-educated engineer, but his English was very poor. He needed help with his English. And so I sensed that, and he didn't really want to talk to me because his English was so bad. And I said, you know, Leon, why don't you come to our ESL event, our English Second Language event? It'll help you with your English. I said, no, seriously, I think it would really be helpful for you. And he said, okay. So after, you know, several months of this, he finally came. It really helped him. He brought his wife, really helped her. And here they are. In our English, we usually use a Bible verse in our conversation events, and he had no belief in God, never heard of Jesus, never seen a Bible. The last night, we had a Bible study then that we offered, 8-week Bible study, and he came. I mean, I blew my mind. He came to the Bible study, and in fact, during one, like about third week, I saw him in the hallway, and I said, Leon, how are you enjoying it, the Bible study? He says, you people are crazy. He says, you really believe this stuff? I said, yeah, we do. Just hang in there. Hang in there toward the end. So he did. Last week, sat at a table with Rudy. Rudy was an immigrant from Germany. He led that discussion that night. Rudy was an engineer. Leon was an engineer. Rudy was an immigrant. Leon was an immigrant. He related to everything Rudy said. Rudy said, I saw my wife come to Jesus, her life 180. He said, I couldn't help. I saw her change. He said, I wanted what she had. And that was Jesus. Leon goes, I can't believe this. That night, Leon went home, got on his knees, and invited Jesus into his life. Well, he came and he told me. I was like, whoa. And so Leon gave his life to Jesus. It was a beautiful, beautiful story. About a month later, he comes up to me. He sees me in the hallway again at our condo, and he says, you know what? I want to be like you. I said, oh, that's nice. I took it as a compliment, you know, I thought it was nice that he said that, and I said, what do you mean? He says, no, I mean, I want to be like you, what you do. And I went, a pastor? And he goes, yeah. I said, no. Come on, Leon, you don't understand this. And he said, no, really, I do, And about 2 months later, he got pink slipped. Here he is, wonderful job, engineer, making tons of money. He gets pink slipped. The boss comes in, gives him his pink slip, and he says, you're done. And he says, really? He tells me this. He says, really? And the boss says, no, you don't understand. You know, you're being laid off. You're done. And he goes, oh, thank you, Lord. And the guy's going, you're crazy. He thought he was crazy. And then just a few months later, he enrolled in a seminary in Calgary for Chinese students. And 2 years, 3 years later, Leon started a church for Chinese immigrants. Was it a coincidence that we lived across the hall from Leon? I didn't lead Leon to the Lord. It's through Rudy's testimony. We're working in this all together, aren't we? It's a team effort. And God uses us in mighty, mighty ways to lead us to people that we had no idea. Your neighbor, your friends. I got like three more stories, and I'm not going to tell them. But the thing is, God wants to use you like the glove, being filled with His Spirit, open and loving your neighbor, your friends that you meet. Our ministry is with internationals, and I presume that you are meeting foreigners and internationals all the time in your neighborhoods, in the marketplace, at work, at school, wherever He leads you. Is your connection with them just a coincidence, or is it God's divine appointment? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the privilege that we have to be together this day. Thank You for the opportunities that You place in our lives, that they're not just a coincidence. They're Your divine appointments. And Lord, lead us by Your Spirit. Fill us with Your Spirit that we may be Your witnesses in our Jerusalem here for Your honor and Your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.